digitally uploaded.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Digitally Uploaded podcast. As usual, I'm here, and with me today is Alan.
Hello. Welcome back, everyone.
It's good to have you listening, as always. So we'll listen to some music, and then we'll jump straight into things. Was a track from Knights of Azure, the Gust-developed action RPG that's on the PlayStation 4 at the moment. And the reason we're playing it this week is obviously next week, Atelier Sophie is released, which I know a lot of us out there are excited for, also by Gust. So it's a bit of a Gust-themed music night tonight. Right, so news this week. There's actually been surprisingly a lot of it, given that E3 is just around the corner and you would normally expect all the announcements to be made then. But I guess a couple of developers and publishers are getting things out of the way early, or at least letting us know that those games are going to be around at E3 this year. The first one is Rock of Ages 2 has been announced, which is Ace Team from South America, I believe Chile.
I think.
Yeah, Chile. Great guys. Great team. They do some awesome stuff. Rock of Ages 1, which was on the PlayStation 3, PC, Xbox, I think. That was a particularly good, clever, fun, wildly entertaining, actually, little tower defense mixed with monkey ball game. And this new one looks to be even more ballsy. I had to do it.
Did you?
Yes, I did. So this one, the previous Rock of Ages was probably best in multiplayer. There was a single player mode, but it was really best fun when you were kind of playing against somebody else and you were kind of busy building towers while rolling a giant boulder down a massive hill to try and knock the other person's towers out. That was two-player only. The big news with this version or this sequel is that it's going to be four-player, and that's going to be all kinds of crazy.
Yeah, I really hope it's also split screen as well. I really, really hope, because I believe the first one was on console. Yeah, I really want them. I want them to do four player split screen, because I will play that and I will very much enjoy that. And it seems like the perfect game to be sort of yelling at each other in the same room.
Well, it's a kind of game where you kind of need to do a bit of screen cheating anyway. From memory, the first one actually had split screen, even if you're playing online, so you could see what your opponent was doing. So I can't see them not doing four-player split screen. And yeah, for local multiplayer hijinks, that would just be a lot of fun. So If you haven't checked out Rock of Ages yet, do so. It's probably really dirt cheap somewhere now, and get excited for the sequel. So the next bit of news is exciting stuff as well. Exceed, everybody's favorite publisher of niche games, has partnered up with WayForward, as in the guys that do the Shantae series. And they are going to release a physical version of Shantae Half Genie Hero for the PlayStation 4, PlayStation Vita, and Wii U. And the PlayStation Vita actually gets a physical release, which is cool.
Everyone just gasped in anger and confusion that the Vita has a release for it that is actually on the cartridge.
Yeah, I mean, we're obviously very excited for Shantae, as anybody who has been listening to the podcast knows. We do love that series, and we've been really looking forward to this one because where the last couple have been quite pixelated because they were originally designed for handheld consoles, so even when they're blown up on the big screen, they still look like, a blown-up 3DS game or whatever. This one is actually in full high definition, I believe, and that's going to look great.
Definitely.
Yeah. So Exceed's also announced a couple of other games. Toho Scarlet Curiosity, which is a bullet hell / RPG cross. Don't know too much about that, but that's getting a physical release on PlayStation 4. And then there's also Exile's End, which is, as far as I can tell, a 2D... I want to say 2D platformer, kind of Metroidvania kind of thing. So that's also getting a physical release on PS4, PS Vita, and Wii U. So Exceed are busy fellows. They're busy people. And looking forward to all of those.
Mm. And I think the next big piece of news is that Overwatch has sold 7 million copies, which is incredible and huge and insane and blows the division out of the water in terms of biggest new IP sales, I believe.
Yeah, for like a week, which is just amazing.
So,
We were talking about Overwatch last week. Obviously, we don't have too much to add to that. Basically, we love it. The fact that I'm absolutely obsessed with it and kind of think about playing it when I'm not actually playing it and I can't stand most shooters is just, that's got to be testament to the quality of it, surely. I mean, I think I can't imagine anybody not having a good time with that game. So 7 million copies is probably well deserved. There's how many PlayStation 4s are out there? 40 million. So that means that really there's 33 million people that still need to buy a copy of it. And
everyone who owns a PC as well.
Yes, or an Xbox. No one has an Xbox, but
Wii U.
Yeah,
Overwatch coming completely to Wii U next summer.
Or maybe NX, you never know.
Maybe. Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. Like an updated version with the new roster.
Well, yeah, I mean, Blizzard's going to keep supporting it. They've already announced that they're going to do some tweaking of some of the characters. Everybody's favorite D.Va is getting a buff, so she'll be even more useful. It's just going to be interesting to see how long this game kind of sustains its popularity. I think it's going to be quite a while.
Mm.
And then it's late on a Friday night. We don't usually record at this time of night, so I'm just a little bit absent-minded. I apologize for that. Anyway, the last bit of news that we got this week is Agony is a new announcement. Now, Agony is an interesting little one. We don't know too much about it other than a couple of screenshots and a concept. But what we do know about it is, firstly, it's a new indie studio of 8 people that have come together to make it, and they have some serious pedigree behind them. They've worked on games like The Witcher 3, The Division, and Enemy Front. Now, Enemy Front was probably not the best game out there, but the other two are good quality games. And this team's called MadMind, and Agony is going to be their first game. And basically, the concept of it is you need to escape from hell. And hell is a interesting setting to try and do in video games because by its nature, it needs to be quite extreme to be effective. And that actually is quite difficult when you're trying to sell copies of a game. But from the early art that we've seen, it looks like they really are going all out with it. It looks all kinds of creepy and
Let's hope it's not Dante's Inferno again.
Or Doom. Oh, no, hang on. No, I'm not meant to talk about Doom, but
I was gonna say the game that shall not be named.
Yeah, look, it is hard to do Hell well. It's difficult because it has to be almost incomprehensible, because otherwise it's just a kind of a horror-ish environment. So, yeah, fingers crossed for them.
It looks interesting, and they've got The Witcher 3 people behind it. It's probably going to be quite interesting no matter what.
Yeah.
So, it looks pretty solid.
Yeah. So if you want to see some of the screenshots, they are on digitallydownloaded.net. Go and have a look. The trailer's also there, and start to get excited for that. I'm sure we'll probably see a little bit more of it at E3 or something else anyway. And I lied. There is one other final bit of news I wanted to mention that I completely forgot about, but No Man's Sky has been delayed, as I'm sure most people who are listening to this know by now. But it is going to come out in August now. And the only reason I mention it is it was a little bit controversial. There were people getting a little bit upset that it was delayed.
Why is it controversial?
I don't know. just get over yourselves, you know. It should come out when it's ready. And if that means, you know, they need to take another 5 years to do so, then so be it. Because it's promising a lot. It needs to deliver a lot. And I don't think anyone wants to be disappointed when it comes out. So let's give them all a couple extra months if they need it.
Mm-hmm. And not send death threats to people because of that.
Yeah, that's not cool. Just not cool. Welcome back. That was another track from Knights of Azure. If you haven't played it yet, play it because the music is good and so is the game. So this week we thought we'd talk about the PlayStation Vita, which is the unfortunately maligned console. It does a lot of things better than most people give it credit for. It has an awful lot of games on it that are worth talking about that not many people do. And it's just unfortunate in general that the console didn't do better than it did. But for those of us that have the console, there's a lot of good games on it. So we thought this week we might just kind of count down our six, which would be three for me and three for Alan, of our favorite games from the console. So, with that in mind, maybe I'll start and I'll talk about one that Alan probably can't talk about too much about, given he's not played many, if any, of these games. But I wanted to mention Atelier Esker, the Vita port of that game, which was obviously a PlayStation 3 original, but came to the Vita slightly enhanced. There's a lot of Atelier games on the Vita. I guess the reason I kind of pick Esker is because I found the balance of the game to be probably the best of the Atelier games. It's probably the most accessible if you haven't played one before. And, you know, usually when you say accessible, it means that the hardcore fans can't really put up with it. But it also has, you know, a really fun, charming story, some really interesting characters. Esker herself is a delightful character. And yeah, they're obviously JRPGs and quite niche, so they're not going to sell a console as such. But for people who have played them and who enjoy them, I mean, you've got almost six, as of next week to choose from with the console, and that alone is enough to fill up the overly expensive memory cards that you might have for it.
That's still the main problem with the Vita. I feel is that I can't actually A, find, B, afford, C, use any of the memory cards except for the one that came with the package, which was 4 gigs. So I have Persona on my Vita, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, when I went to Japan, I actually went out of my way to go and pick up a 64 gigabyte memory card because obviously over there, the Vita still sells well enough that you can buy all that kind of stuff in shops and all that. And yeah, I can't imagine going back, especially when I like to play the JRPGs, and to use the Atelier games as an example, they're all like 3-4 gigabytes each. Mm. So, you know, it kind of fills up the card pretty quickly. But yeah, that's, I guess, number six for our little countdown tonight.
And I'll continue the little sort of countdown and go to Mortal Kombat 9, which people forget is on the Vita along with Injustice, but it's one of the best ports of the game that I've found personally. It's a near perfect recreation of MK9. It's got all the characters, including the DLC characters. It plays really, really well. There's a huge story mode. You can play it online with, unfortunately, a dead player base because it's on the Vita. And yeah, it's a genuinely great game. Holds up exceedingly well. I still play it every now and then. And yeah, it's one of those games that I didn't expect to like run so well on a Vita. I mean, the models aren't the highest detail, but it runs at 60 FPS constantly, so it's totally fine and justifiable in my view. Yeah, it's a genuinely wonderful game. You can pick it up pretty cheap now, I believe, too. So if you're a fan of fighting games and you want to have something portable, I would definitely recommend MK9. It's a wonderful game.
Yeah, I mean, the PlayStation Vita does fighting games remarkably well. People don't give it credit for that.
And, you know, Skullgirls as well is coming out too.
Yeah, and there's a really good port of Dead or Alive 5 on there.
Yeah, last round or something?
No, last round's the one on the consoles. I can't remember what the one on the Vita is. Anyway, it's a particularly good one. It doesn't get the support with the new costumes and all that that Koei Tecmo does with last round on the PlayStation 4 now, but what's there on it is already, you know, a lot, and it's good. There's a good port of one of the Street Fighters. I can't remember which.
Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is on there as well.
There you go.
Which is that's the impressive.
And then, as you mentioned, Injustice, which is a good fighting game. And yeah, Mortal Kombat. I haven't played it on the Vita. I have the PlayStation 4 version and thought it was excellent. So I can imagine it would be a lot of fun to be able to take on the road as well.
It's great.
Yep. So that was 5. Now 4. We should have had one of those voices count things down, you know, 6.
Anyway. Still the one from game trailers. They won't notice. It's fine.
Well, they're not around anymore.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so, oh, that's too soon.
Yeah, much too soon, dude. So four. What was I going to say for four? Oh, Hatsune Miku. That would be funny if I didn't say Hatsune Miku. So yeah, PlayStation Vita does rhythm games incredibly well, and has a lot of them. So you've got IABT, which is Japan only, unfortunately, but it's superb. You've got the kind of indie stuff like Kickbeat, and then you've got, you know, stuff like Supersonic, Luminous, which is a brilliant little puzzle game slash rhythm game, Persona 4 Dancing All Night, which has reset and reset makes any game worth playing. And then the Hatsune Miku games. So we've got Project Diva, Project Diva F Second, and Project Diva X, which is coming out a little bit later on in the year. And yeah, they're all great. Obviously, I'm going to say that always, but
yeah.
Seriously, though, they are a lot of fun. I have spent hundreds of hours playing them. I've actually worn out a PlayStation Vita, I'm pretty sure, mostly because of that game or those games. And I can't say too much about them that I haven't already said at length before, so I won't. But I think the PlayStation Vita certainly deserves a nod if you're into rhythm games. So, yeah. Just from those three, JRPGs, fighting games, and rhythm games. If you're a fan of any of those genres, you kind of need one of these consoles if you don't already have one. Another track from Knights of Azure. Unfortunately, that was on the PlayStation Vita in Japan, I believe, and was not released in the West. But if you can speak Japanese, there's another option for you. Okay, so Alan, number three.
Yes, so Wipeout 2048, generally great game. I believe it's a port of Wipeout 2 on the PSX, but it runs very, very well. It's very fast, it's very fluid, it feels great to, you know, pilot around things, and it has that perfect sort of Wipeout feel that most games try to emulate but don't really get. As someone who prefers Wipeout over F-Zero, for example, I very much enjoyed this game, and I think that anyone who has a sort of penchant for high speed, sort of blur lines all over the screen as you sort of like slide around corners very gracefully, or not gracefully if you're bad at the game like I am, you will absolutely adore it. It's a genuinely great game. You get it really, really cheap now as well. And there is an online community. There was an online community last time I checked. But you can't really expect too much modern, like at that sort of point with a game that was a launch title, I believe, as well. So Wipeout 2048, it's got a pretty substantial single player mode. There's a lot of options you can always tweak. Looks great. All the tracks are very unique and they all look very different, and they all have, you know, interesting sort of music behind them. It's very, very good game. And that, and Pfizer is the coolest brand in anything ever. And I wish I could have a Pfizer everything.
I know we're talking about the PlayStation Vita, but how the hell is Wipeout not on the PS4 yet?
I don't know. It's very upsetting to me. It's it's confusing because you'd think that it would be on the PS4 because it's a big console and Wipeout was huge. But then I'm also the sort of person who thinks that like Jak and Daxter should make a return, but you know, that's not going to happen.
It's weird. It's like Sony and Nintendo have a deal not to actually release their futuristic races. F-Zero would have been great on the Wii U.
Apparently they're just hating everyone who likes fun.
But anyway, that's all for another day, I guess.
Just gonna make some tears and just sit down and cry into the microphone for a while.
So number two on our little countdown really should be number one, and I think everybody should agree on that, but unfortunately I went first, so I get to do number two. But Persona 4 Golden, basically, you know, arguably the best RPG of all time, which kind of makes it the best game of all time, arguably, as far as I'm concerned. But, yeah, I think we've already talked about this one before as well. But, yeah, it's got everything. It's got characters. It's got story. It's got, you know, good, fun combat system. It's got music. It's got more music and, you know, even more music. It's got pretty much everything that you could possibly want in a JRPG. I keep writing about it. I have another article. I have another article up on the site that I wrote about it this week. Because I just can't stop thinking about it. It's one of those games that you keep thinking about after you finish playing and you kind of dwell on it and you keep coming up with, you know, new thoughts. So you can keep replaying it and keep finding new things about it that you kind of appreciate. So yeah, Persona 4 is great. And if you've got a PlayStation Vita, you probably already have it. If you like JRPGs, it's actually worth buying a PlayStation Vita just to buy this game.
Or even a PlayStation TV.
Yeah, absolutely. It is compatible with a PlayStation TV, which is pretty cool. And I do that now. I actually play it on the TV at home, kind of kick back, big screen. Reset on the big screen is a good thing.
I was just waiting for some sort of reset-related comment that entire time. Just sort of like sitting at my desk, like standing up slowly whenever I hear like the letter R being pronounced. Like, here we go. And then to sort of round off this list, I guess, I'd like to make a mention of Oddworld. Because Oddworld New and Tasty is a bloody wonderful game. If anyone who's ever played the original Oddworld on the PSX, that game is dripping in style, atmosphere, and pretty much everything you could possibly want from a cinematic platformer, and they've done it perfectly on the PS Vita. It runs smoothly most of the time. There are a couple of frame rate issues, but it's not a big deal most of the time. It looks gorgeous. It has the exact same terrifying world that traumatized me as a child. It's a damn good game, and it's an absolute shame that more people aren't getting around it, because it's bloody good.
I don't know if you can still buy copies of it through limited run games, can you?
I'm not sure you can buy physical copies anymore, no. It is always on the PSN, though.
Yeah.
And it goes pretty cheap most of the time.
Yeah.
So, can't really complain. It's a good little purchase that you can always make and, you know, put some time for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tomo ni ichiya wo sugoshita, zenbu eran de kitan da, kimi to sugoshita hibi wo.
Welcome back. That was another track from Knights of Azure. So we've done a little countdown of top games, but obviously there is a lot on the Vita that most people don't realize is on there. So we thought we'd just kind of enthuse at random about other great games that we've played on the console. And a good place to start would probably be to say, you know, if you're into Final Fantasy, the PlayStation Vita is an absolute beast. My PlayStation Vita, I think I have Final Fantasy 1, 2, 3, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10, 2, and Tactics. So that's a lot of Final Fantasy. Between the PSP games, which are compatible with the Vita, the PlayStation 1 classics, and then, you know, Final Fantasy 10 actually being released on the console as well. Lots of Final Fantasy.
I feel like this is the point in the podcast where I have to mention pretty much every single PlayStation 1 game and also PlayStation Portable game is on the PS Vita. So if you want to play like Crash Bandicoot 2 on the go, you totally can. And if you want to play Crazy Taxi for the PSP, you totally can. And they're really worth it as well because they're still holding up. Not to mention pretty much every week there's a new sale or something for everything, so you can always get something pretty cheap that will, you know, keep you entertained for quite some time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, definitely in terms of the Japanese games as well, the sheer number of JRPGs that are on the console means that you're going to find stuff you like. So yeah, the old the Tsukuden games, Harvest Moon. Yeah, there's a couple of Harvest Moon there, and they're always good fun. If you're looking at the PSP, you've got stuff like Tactics Ogre, which is one of the best tactics JRPGs ever made, and that's there. And most people forget that you can play that on your Vita. You know, there's a whole bunch of Dynasty Warriors games through the PSP and the PlayStation Vita, which are always good fun if you're into the action side of things. And then, yeah, you've got all these niche kind of JRPGs. So you've got stuff like Orishika and Demon Gaze and Stranger of Lost City and Ray Gaiget and Atelier games and all the Hyperdimension games. So, yeah, if you're into that genre, you're pretty much covered. And then all the classic horrors. I mean, Silent Hill.
Silent Hill 1 is on there?
Silent Hill 1 is on there. Silent Hill... No, I think that's the only Silent Hill that...
Yeah, and then you've got all the Resident Evils. Except for Code Veronica.
Yep. Parasite Eve is on there.
Oh, yeah. No, Parasite Eve 2. Parasite Eve 1 is not on there, I don't believe.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I apologize.
Which is unfortunate because 1 is much, much better.
And then, yeah, you can get on the... If you jump on the actual Vita itself shop, there's stuff like Corpse Party, which is just unbelievably creepy.
Killzone Mercenary. It's actually a surprisingly good shooter on a Vita. And it feels good, and it looks gorgeous.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously the thing that the Vita did, probably the weakest, and the reason it kind of struggled at store is because it didn't really have that kind of AAA blockbuster game to really sell it. But Killzone does a good job.
And Origins are on the Vita, and they're fantastic games.
And Assassin's Creed Liberation.
The best Assassin's Creed, apart from 4.
Completely agree with you. Like, that was a really good... It was obviously, you know, budget constrained. It wasn't a, it wasn't like Ubisoft threw all the monies at it to make it made as the same quality that they were doing with the PlayStation 3 at the time. But it's really good. It has such an original... You know, the character, Aveline, is a wonderful character.
She's still the best part of 3 when you find her in 3.
Yeah, she's great.
Part of the best part of 3.
She's absolutely great. I adore Aveline. And the setting, New Orleans, is a really cool setting. So, that was a good one to have.
And also Tearaway, which I've completely forgotten about until now.
Tearaway, yes.
Medium Marvel. And the Little Big Planet game that was out on the Vita as well was actually really good.
And let's not forget Gravity Rush.
Yes, there's actually a lot of... You know what? Vita has some games. It has more than 7, like I was saying before.
Vita has a lot of games. People forget the Vita... I mean, people forget the Vita kind of exists a lot of the time.
You could have just left it as people forget the Vita and just ended the conversation there, and that would have been totally reasonable, understandable.
But yeah, that's ultimately the kind of the tragedy about it, because it actually is a very good console. It's just, it's one of those ones that you kind of had to have with you. You had to try it. You had to play it. You had to see.
And to actively look for games.
Yeah, exactly. So nothing kind of came, but just kind of dropped in your lap. And, you know, there's various reasons for that. We don't want to get into that. We don't want to get too bitchy about it. But, yeah, it's...
I will get bitchy one day, don't you worry. As an early adopter, I will quite happily get bitchy about this.
I was too. I actually got the... I got the cell version of it, the cellular data version of it. And that was a spectacular waste of money. Anyway, that was, I don't know if anybody remembers, but the original PlayStation Vita had a 3G chip in it. I don't know if the remake, the later models did. But the original one, you could go through Vodafone in Australia and you could actually sign up for a contract just like a mobile phone. And then you'd have access to the 3G network while you're out and about.
Also important to note, it was very expensive and not at all worth it because 4G was coming out like the month after.
Yeah, that and the fact that like you can't actually you can't do much in terms of games on a 3D network anyway. It's too slow to play. It was convenient for me at the time because it let me get the game the console without actually having to pay for it upfront. So that was kind of the primary reason. I never actually used the 3G for anything except for maybe to tweet once or twice out of novelty. Because I had a phone too.
Yeah. Anyway. So bizarre. I remember seeing that in the shop and being like, should I just shell out the extra like $100 for this? Or is it going to be worth it at all? And I made the right decision and bought PlayStation All-Stars along with my Vita instead of buying the stupid 3G one. So.
Oh, PlayStation All-Stars. Now there's a game that needs a sequel.
Yeah, that game was interesting. I mean, it's not as good as Smash Brothers, I don't think, but it wasn't trying to be, so...
My wife actually prefers it to Smash Brothers, I think. I don't know, it's a character. Different. She likes the characters. She likes Toro the Cat, and...
I think everyone likes Toro the Cat.
That's like the ultimate troll character, that cat. Because when it knocks you out, it's so underpowered, but when it knocks you out, it's just really annoying.
I just adore the fact that they put in Raiden from Rising Revengeance, because he is so cool in that game, and he's so much better than... like every other character in the entire tier of Smash Brothers at the moment, in my opinion, apart from like Bayo, which is really, really upsetting because Raiden is not meant to be cool. I'm so sad.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Sony's characters don't have that same kind of charm a lot of the time that works for a multiplayer fighting game. Like Nathan Drake, kind of, he's okay in a shooting game. But he wasn't exactly an interesting fighting game character, let's put it that way.
I adore the fact that he just threw barrels to kill people.
I can't even remember who I used in that.
I liked Big Daddy, but he was like the lowest of the low-tier characters.
Oh, yeah, he was pretty hopeless.
It was so bad. Yeah, that was a game that came out and no one cared, and then it slowly faded into obscurity. But it was a really good Vita port, so yeah. Not to mention all the like PS2 remasters / trilogies. Like, I believe that the Jak and Daxter trilogy is terrible on Vita, but the Ratchet and Clank one's pretty solid.
Also Metal Gear.
Metal Gear as well, yeah. Metal Gear Solid 3 was that was how I played Metal Gear Solid 3 for the first time on my Vita. It was absolutely wonderful. Best experience I've had.
It was good. Yeah. Yeah, I was a bit disappointed the Silent Hill remakes didn't.
Oh, I would have much preferred if they weren't existing, in all fairness, though.
I mean, I know they're not great quality ports, but yeah, the core narrative and all that kind of was there. I kind of sat through the PS3 ones and I didn't mind.
Oh, how did you deal with that?
I got through it. Yeah, I like the story of Silent Hill, so I would have been willing to put up with that again on the Vita, I guess.
I love how you have to use the term put up with.
Well, sometimes you kind of struggle through the way a game plays to kind of experience the rest of it.
It wasn't even the way the game played either. It was just like changes to things that didn't need to be changed, like the road being changed into like a newly paved road when you're in the Silent Hill 2 opening, and it used to be like decayed and breaking, which makes sense. But they changed it to be like this perfectly paved road. It's like, why would you bother? Why would you do that? Like,
speaking of horror games, actually, one thing we should have mentioned at the start. The PlayStation Plus goodies for next month. if you still have a PlayStation 3 lying around, make sure you go and get the downloads next month more than usual, because Siren Chapters 1 through 12, which is the whole lot of
yes.
it, is actually the freebie next month, and that game is just unbelievably good.
It's
and I'm kind of hoping...
Very expensive hoping that, as well.
Yeah, usually it is. So the fact it's free is really cool. Kind of hoping that Sony's using that as a way of kind of saying, hey, look, we've got another one in development at E3 this year. They yeah, might be. That would be
I think they'll be playing off Konami's complete fuck up. Sorry, I can't swear. I'll bleep that.
well, yeah, there is kind of that AAA horror spot with Resident Evil like disappearing off everyone's mindset and Silent Hills being canned.
There's a market for Koei, it, and they know it.
Koei taking, or Nintendo actually taking ownership of the Fatal Frame series. So, yeah, on the PlayStation 4, Sony has it in its best interest to probably revive Siren just to get that AAA horror game out there again. Or let's, you know, maybe they'll announce a sequel to, what was that? Until Dawn.
I was about to say Ape Escape. The truest horror game.
Anyway, so Sony's had a good tradition, a good heritage in horror games. Siren is a really good one. It's free next month if you've got a PS3 still. And hopefully that means there'll be a PS4 one on the way. So, yes. So, yeah, that wraps up everything for this week. Talked a lot about the PlayStation Vita, obviously. I know a lot of us out there are fans of it. So do let us know which of the PlayStation Vita games are your favourites. I know that we've missed some of them. And, yeah, next week we will be back with something else.
Digitally uploaded.